Good afternoon. I'm Candace Shaw, and I'm the director of spiritual formation. That's hard to say. I am the director of spiritual formation here at Platte Woods Church. And since I am a newish face to a lot of you, I thought I'd introduce myself really quickly. I've been on staff here at Platte Woods since October. Before that, I worked at a few other United Methodist and non-denominational churches around the Kansas City area. My husband, Scott, is one of the worship leaders here at Platte Woods. If you were here on Good Friday or on Easter, you saw him playing the violin, hopefully heard him playing the violin. And we have two kids, Logan, who is 12, and Charlotte, who is 9. And I think we have a photo, maybe, of our kids. Always a chance. So maybe not the most flattering selfie we've ever taken, but you can see on our heads we have our eclipse glasses from last week. Last week I drove to Dallas to stay with some of our extended family so that we could see the total eclipse. Did any of you get to see the partial or the total eclipse? I know Vicky did last week. So for this eclipse, this last week, Kansas City, unfortunately, was not in the path of totality like we were in 2017. I think we had about 90% maximum coverage in Kansas City. And so 2017, when it was in the total eclipse here, was my first time to ever see an eclipse. And it was so amazing. Did you all see the one in 2017 when we had the total eclipse? I was just amazed. But back in 2017, my kids were 5 and 2. And so my oldest, who was in kindergarten, remembers a little bit about that total eclipse. But my youngest daughter, of course, she was 2. She didn't remember anything about it. So since the next eclipse that's going to happen in North America is going to be in 20 years, the next total eclipse is going to be in 20 years when my kids will be full-grown adults, I thought, let's take this opportunity now and go to Dallas to make some memories and see that full eclipse. So we made plans to go stay with my aunt, but a few days before, she called me to let me know that the weather prediction was not looking great for the Monday of the eclipse, that they were predicting it was going to be pretty cloudy. And she was worried that it was not going to be worth it for us to drive all the way down there if we weren't going to be able to see the sun very well. And it gave me pause, right? Because it's not a short trip down to Dallas. It's about 9 hours of driving plus 2 hours, 3 hours of stops when you have little kids. Everybody wants that perfect eclipse experience with just, you know, clear blue skies and being able to see the sun and see the whole thing from start to finish. And it looks like if we were going to go down to Dallas, that was not going to be what we were going to get. But after thinking about it and discussing it with my husband, we decided that we were going to go anyway, because since we'd experienced a total eclipse before, we were pretty confident about something that my aunt and the rest of my Texas family, who didn't have the total eclipse back in 2017, they didn't really know. And that we knew that in totality, it gets so dark, it gets, you know, sunset dark, that if you are outside and looking for an eclipse, you are not going to be able to miss it. Even if it's cloudy weather, in that moment of totality, we were going to be able to experience something. And so sure enough, we woke up on that Monday morning in Dallas, and it was very cloudy. So cloudy that when I went outside that morning, I tried to test my eclipse glasses. I couldn't even find the sun. I didn't know which direction to look. This was not my house. I didn't know which way it was east. And so I was, we were all pretty bummed. But as the morning went on, the clouds did lessen and went from fully cloudy to partly cloudy. And looking up, the sun would peek out for a few seconds or a minute at a time. And so when we looked up with our eclipse glasses, of course, we could see the moon slowly but surely starting to go in front of the sun. And so finally, there's us looking at it, my sun is helpfully pointing. After about an hour, the moon fully blocked the sun, and it got dark. Sunset dark. Not just a cloud going in front of the sun, which we had been experiencing off and on all morning, but so dark that the birds got quiet, and they flew up into the trees and onto the rooftops because they thought their hunting time was over. And in their place, the crickets started to chirp because they thought it was nighttime. And it was clear that something different was happening. And so we were able to take off our eclipse glasses and stare in awe at the sky. I did not take this photo. This is a family member took this photo using his telescope. And so during the 4 minutes of totality, my kids and my extended family also realized what I already knew, that when we were outside during a total eclipse, there was no way they weren't going to have noticed that. Even if it had stayed totally cloudy, those 4 minutes, the animals noticed and we would have noticed too. So I took a short video of my family's reaction to the moment of totality. It starts off with a not great camera angle at the ground because I was looking up at the sky and not paying attention to what my camera was doing, but this is what happened.
I hear screaming.
Are we clear?
I can't see it.
Yeah, look.
We're clear!
Whoa! That's amazing.
We got it for about 4 minutes.
I see stars.
Ooh, I need to take a picture for my classroom.
Okay. That was my daughter saying, I need to take a picture. But did you see what my son, hear what my son said? He said, I can see stars. And we could. My iPhone did a terrible job of showing the stars in the video, and it made it, the iPhone always tries to brighten things up, so it looked a lot lighter in that video than it actually was at the time. But it really did look like twilight, and the stars started to come out. But of course, the stars didn't really come out. They didn't zoom in from some other place when the sun went behind the moon. They were always there. We just couldn't see them because it was dark. And so this week, because I had the eclipse on my mind, I've been reading a book by the Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor called Learning to Walk in the Dark. And the premise of this book is that often in Christianity, we've set up this binary of darkness and light. And we've decided that the light is the good thing and dark is the bad thing. And so often we are afraid of the dark, both literally and metaphorically. We are afraid that in cloudy times, in the dark times in our lives, we won't find God there. We're afraid that unless everything in our lives is perfectly bright and sunny, then we're gonna miss out on faith, we're gonna miss out on our community, and we're gonna miss out on God. And indeed, there are counterfeit versions of Christianity that claim if you do faith correctly, you can avoid the dark times in life. That if you simply are sunny and maintain a sunny disposition to prove that you are still in the light, that you can show that you are near to God. But that's not what the Bible says. In fact, in the very first story in the Bible, the story of creation, God appears in the dark before there was ever light. So let me read that for us. Genesis 1:1. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light." And so light appeared, and God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness, and God named the light day and the darkness night. And then we'll skip down to day 4 of creation. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will mark events, sacred seasons, days, and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the stars and 2 great lights, the larger light to rule over the day and the smaller light to rule over the night. And God put them in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw how good it was. Did you catch what God says about the dark? God calls the light good, but God never calls the darkness bad. In the Genesis story, God does not create the dark. It just is. It just exists from the beginning, like God. God gives it a name, night, and gives it a role to help us mark the events and the sacred seasons of our lives. Darkness in our lives reveals things that can't be fully experienced in the light. Barbara Brown Taylor says, I have learned things in the dark that I could never have learned in the light. Things that have saved my life over and over again, so that there is really only one conclusion. I need darkness as much as I need light. This is not the same as saying that everything happens for a reason or that God causes bad things to happen to teach us a lesson. Pain, loss, and suffering are not the darkness. Darkness is what we experience when the difficult things in life have stripped away all that is shiny and bright, revealing our most basic selves, what we hope for and what we most fear. The darkness is the universe around us in its simplest form, when something in our lives has shaken up our usual rhythms and shifted the ground beneath our feet. We worry that in dark and cloudy times in our lives, God will not be there. But God has always been working in the dark. Creation began in the dark. Resurrection happened in the dark, in a dark tomb before the stone was rolled away. And how we experience God in the dark doesn't always look the same as how we experience God in the light. And that's okay. In a cloudy total eclipse, you may not be able to see the moon or the sun or the stars. But if you're standing outside waiting for totality, you won't be able to miss it. You may not be able to see the moon in front of the sun with your eyes, but you can see the light dim. You can feel the air get cooler. You can hear the change in the animal and the insect sounds and see the birds fly up into the trees. And in the dark and cloudy times in our lives, while you wait for test results, after you receive a diagnosis, when you're stressed about money or the future, after a devastating loss, in those dark times, you may not experience God in the way that you are used to either. In the sunny times of your life, you may be used to experiencing God in the joyful feeling you get when you sing a beloved hymn, or the comfort of reading a daily devotional, or in the familiarity of your usual routine or your faith community. But sometimes in the dark, none of your usual ways of experiencing God seem to work. Hymns make you cry. Your brain can't focus on reading your devotional or your Bible. An illness or a medical condition means you can't participate in your faith community like you're used to. Instead, God might show up in a racing heart when you say a simple breath prayer. Maybe God shows up through a friend who calls to check on you. Maybe God shows up in the sunrise and in the sunset. That means you've made it through another day when you didn't think it was possible. Because just like clouds cannot keep you from noticing a total eclipse, the dark and cloudy times in our lives cannot separate us from God. God shows up in the dark and, in fact, has always been there. Will you pray with me? God, you are with us in the darkness and the cloudy times in our lives. Thank you for being close even when we can't see you. Thank you for your presence, even when it feels different than what we are used to. Help us to seek you, even in the dark, and give us peace and confidence to know that you are with us there. Amen.